Welcome to the Embodied Resilience Podcast, where we explore the intersection of trauma-informed yoga, emotional and mental health, nervous system regulation, and the ancient wisdom of Chinese meridians. I'm Liz, a trauma-specialized yoga educator and space holder. In each episode, we will dive into practices, stories, and conversations that help you to return to your body, navigate life with more awareness, and support others with integrity and depth. Whether you're a yoga teacher, a student, or seeker, this space is for you. Hello, and welcome to this new episode. Touch in yoga can be deeply healing, while it can be harmful. The difference? It's not just what you do, it's how, why, and with what awareness you do it. As trauma-aware teachers, we can no longer bypass this conversation if we truly want to create safe healing spaces. What do I mean by ethical touch? In yoga, touch has often been used as a tool to adjust alignment, to guide awareness, to support a student into relaxation. But ethical touch isn't about correcting or fixing anyone, and definitely not about imposing alignment that is not suitable for every body. Ethical touch is guided by respect, professionalism, and safety. It means touch is a privilege, never a right. We should offer assistance only when necessary and appropriate. Touch must support a student's agency and not override it. The problem with generic consent. A lot of studios and trainings use consent cards or a one-time "Do you want adjustments?" question at the start of a class. On the surface, this sounds like a good idea. This doesn't actually work for many students. Why? Because students might say yes when they actually mean no. This happens for many possible reasons. For example, a freeze response. They literally cannot access their voice in the moment. Or someone fawning, saying yes to please or avoid conflict even when it feels unsafe. Can be deep conditioning in the background. Many of us grew up without healthy boundaries, so we default to compliance. Or the fear of standing out. Nobody wants to be the difficult student. So that yes on a consent card isn't always a true yes. This is why consent is not a one-time agreement. Consent is explicit, ongoing, and never assumed. Informed consent means that students remain in control of their own experience. This means that we always explain the purpose of an adjustment we plan to apply. We ask explicitly how, where, and why we would like to apply the touch. We make it crystal clear that they can decline the touch at any time, no explanation needed. Consent isn't just verbal. When we approach a student, their body will often tell us more than their words. Signs of discomfort might include pulling away, stiffening, or freezing upon your approach, fidgeting or avoiding eye contact, or even a nervous laugh. Signs of someone being comfortable with your touch might include a relaxed posture, leaning into the adjustment, a softening of the breath, perhaps. As teachers, it's our job to stay curious and never assume, and sometimes even making the decision for our student, declining the offered touch. So, how do we make sure touch is actually safe? First of all, we have to enter a student's space slowly and with awareness, centering and grounding ourselves before we approach. We have to stick to neutral areas on the body like shoulders or upper back, and avoiding sensitive or intimate areas such as chest, inner thighs, pelvis, or lower abdomen. We have to also keep our contact light, intentional, and supportive, never forceful. And as a teacher, always ask yourself, is this touch truly necessary, or can I guide the student with words, demonstration, or props instead? Also, consent is not static, it's fluid. A student may feel comfortable with a certain touch at a certain time, but their comfort level might change. Their nervous system may shift. Their boundaries may change. So as teachers, we need to recheck consent, verbally or non-verbally, whenever the context changes. And if you sense hesitation, just step back, because the absence of a no is not the same as yes. Why this matters? Because for someone with a trauma in their history, and let's be honest, that's most of us, a single unsafe touch can re-trigger nervous system defenses. Instead of helping someone feel safe, we may reinforce the very patterns of powerlessness they wish to heal. On the other hand, when done ethically, touch can be profoundly healing. It can communicate support, grounding, and care, but only if it's truly chosen, welcomed, and safe. If you are a yoga teacher, this isn't just about technique. It's about your responsibility as a space holder. It's about shifting from, I know what's best for this student, to, this student is the expert of their own body. And let's be real, most teacher trainings don't go this deep into this topic. They might throw in a line about consent or mention consent cards, but they don't teach you how to actually practice ethical touch and ongoing consent in the proper way. So this is exactly why I created my trainings. In my 100-hour trauma-informed Yin Yoga and Chinese Meridians teacher training, we go deep into how to offer or not physical touch in a trauma-informed way, how to use language, props, and presence instead of defaulting to physical adjustments, and how to hold space with integrity, attunement, and ongoing consent. And if you're not quite ready for 100 hours immersion, my 30-hour trauma awareness course gives you the essential foundations. These courses are perfect for yoga teachers and dedicated practitioners who want to bring this level of care into their practice and community. Because students remember how they felt in your class more than what pose they did. And when safety is a felt experience, healing can begin. So let me leave you with this. Touch in yoga is not neutral. It can heal or it can harm. But when we understand ethical touch, informed consent, nonverbal cues, and the fluid nature of boundaries, we create classes when students feel safe to soften, to explore, and to heal. Because teaching yoga is not just about shapes. It's about safety, integrity, and truly seeing the whole human in front of you. If today's episode resonated with you and you feel called to explore this work more deeply, here are a few gentle steps you can already take. You can download my free ebook, Meridians, Emotions, and Yin Yoga, which is a beautiful starting point for understanding the connection between your body, emotions, and energy. If you wish to go deeper into the trauma awareness topic, watch my free webinar, Trauma-Informed Yoga Foundations. You can also join my live trainings in Thailand, my 100-hour trauma-informed Yin Yoga and Chinese Meridians teacher training, or my 30-hour The Art of Trauma-Informed Space Holding course. Upcoming dates and links will be shared in the description. If traveling is not an option for you at the moment, You can already join the waitlist for the online self-paced versions of these courses launching in December 2025. And finally, make sure that you are subscribed so you don't miss any future episodes. I will share the links to all my offerings in the description. Thank you for listening, and hear you in the next one.